to you. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Invite any youth or children forward for the children's message. Hi, Dirk. Good morning. Hi, Emma. Welcome. Glad that you came up here this morning. Do you see anything different up here this morning than what you saw up here typically the last Sunday or two? Anything look a little different, Lexi? Yeah, the table. Why don't you come gather around this table here? So I've got a whole bunch of candles on the table this morning. Run lots of wax. And what would happen when someone lights a candle? What happens? Yeah. It's a lighter? Yeah. Right. Fire burns the wax and it melts down. Yeah, water can put out a fire if you have one.
Isn't the candle gets wet and sometimes
yeah, it gets those streams of wax running down them. And candles also kind of draw your attention, right? That's what you're looking at right now. You're not looking at me. You're looking at the flame and of the candle. And that's one of the things that happens with candles. And that's maybe part of the reason why we have candles in the church. We have it there for many reasons. But they also draw our attention to the flame. And sometimes we hear the phrase, light a candle for someone, and that means you're saying a prayer for someone in addition to actually lighting a candle, but that you say a prayer for them. Today, what we're celebrating is All Saints Sunday, and saints are special people in our lives, people that have told us about how much we're loved and how much God loves us. So those are the kind of saints, the people that we're looking at and thinking about today, ones that have touched our lives in some way, people that have shown us that we're loved and maybe told us about God's love as well. So I'd like to have you think about someone in your life that has made you feel loved or told you about Jesus' love. I don't need you to tell me who they are, but I want you to think about those people, and then I want you to join me in prayer, okay? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for the special people you put in our lives. Amen. So what might be a good shape of what we talked about this morning for a cookie? Yeah. A candle, excellent, good job. That's a cookie for today. That's right, you need to be careful with fire, right? Great. I'd like to invite the congregation to sing our next hymn, number 641. And you can grab a cookie here. Would you grab them in?
As one. build a house where love is found in water, wine, and wheat. A banquet hall on holy ground where peace and justice meet. Build a house where hands will reach beyond the wood and stone to heal and strengthen, serve and teach, and live the word they've known. Hear the outcast and the stranger, bear the image of God's face. Let's bring an end to fear and danger. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Let us build a house where all are named, their songs and visions heard, and loved and treasured, taught and played as words within the word, built of tears and cries and laughter, prayers of faith and songs of grace. Let this house proclaim from floor to rafter, all are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place.
You may be seated. From Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 13. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. In Christ you were marked by the seal of the Holy Spirit. So, saints of God, grace and peace be to you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This is All Saints Sunday, a day to remember all the saints of God, all the ones who have preceded us in faith, the faithful, holy ones of God, the ordinary people who lived sometimes extraordinary lives. Extraordinary lives, not because they meant to, not necessarily because they set out to be famous, not because they set out to be great leaders or to do remarkable things, but just because they were faithful. They were full of faith, and sometimes full of doubts, but even then, they couldn't shake faith loose. Faith had a grip on them. Christ had a grip on them. And in the end, they realized that there was no other way to live, even if it should cost them their lives. We stand in awe of them, these great saints who actually lived what they believed, who actually loved their enemies, and did good to those who hate them, and blessed those who cursed them, and prayed for those who abused them. Those saints who did unto others not as others did to them, but as they wished others would do to them, following the example of our Lord. We honor the extraordinary lives of those people, but we also remember that we're called to be those people. All Saints' Day is not just about them. It's about us. We're not here to admire their faithfulness, but to answer our call to faithfulness. We're saints of God in America, and that makes us especially blessed. We're full of blessings. We are rich. We have more than most. We have things to make us happy. It's true, even our enemies envy us and admire at least something about us. And yet, both as a congregation and as a nation, we have plenty of challenges. We struggle to be a faithful congregation in a time when people are less willing to make time for church, in a time when, often as not, due to our own faults and failings, people might have less respect for the faith that we have or haven't practiced. And as a nation, we struggle to face honestly the hard parts of our history, our history of slavery, our genocide of indigenous people, the racism that we still haven't been able to surmount. We're divided by partisanship and self-righteousness, by our inability to listen to one another, and our unwillingness to build our identity on any value greater than self-interest. We are, at least at times, fearful, anxious, and weary. We keep looking for saints, for some extraordinary leaders who will inspire us, for somebody else to show us the way and do remarkable things. We keep looking for saints, and I think we are disappointed. And yet I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, the writer of Ephesians says, and your love toward all the saints. In Christ you are marked by the Holy Spirit. I remember someone complained once that until Jesus Christ is on the ballot, it'll always be a choice of two lesser of two evils. Well, picking leaders will always be hard, and Jesus Christ will never be on the ballot. Our hope is that we, you and I, believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Our hope is built on that. However you feel about the powers that be, however intimidated you may feel by the chaos-filled world, however disappointed you may be in religious or political leaders, however much you may wish for change and yet fear it, however overwhelming the challenges you face personally or that we face as a nation or as a church, remember, you've already got a leader. You do not believe that the world is at the mercy of the lesser or greater of two evils. Whatever the powers that be, you do not believe that the future is determined by the powers that be in this world, but by the power that stands above this world. So the writer of Ephesians today asks you to raise your sights above the challenges you face, even above the abundance of things you take comfort in. I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, the writer of Ephesians says, beginning with verse 15. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which you have been called, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among all the saints, and what's the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the work of his great power. God put this work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age that is to come. Bottom line, we're wishing for extraordinary leaders to save us and looking for saints to come out of the woodwork. But if you believe that Jesus is Lord, then you know that God is not just some faraway removed deity. God is present in the chaos of this world, moving, acting, intervening in the real life struggles of believers like you and me, who keep looking for saints to appear. You believe that this present world is not subject to the whims of whomever is in power, or whomever you wish was in power. It's subject to God, who's at work in the world and in you, both to will and to work for God's good pleasure. And that's when Jesus looks up at you and says, "Blessed are you. Blessed are you, for you get to live in challenging times. Blessed are you, for you are the saints of God, and it's your faith and it's your love that will change the world. Blessed are you, for you are my disciples." Today's gospel reading is the Beatitudes from Luke. The Beatitudes are those ever so hopeful sayings of Jesus, these blessings that Jesus puts on those who follow him. They show up both in Luke and in Matthew, but we tend to like the ones in Matthew better. They're prettier, they're more general and comforting, and they're wonderfully poetic. In Matthew, the Beatitudes all begin with, "Blessed are they who are poor in spirit. Blessed are they who are merciful. Blessed are they who are pure in heart. Blessed are they who are peacemakers." And he means us, but it's easier to think that Jesus means them. He must be talking about those extraordinary people, those saints of God with their awesome faith and remarkable deeds. He must mean those heroic Christians, not us ordinary believers. But in Luke, it's different. In Luke, there's no mistake. He's not talking to them, he's talking to you. This is what Jesus expects of you. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that's what the ancestors did to the prophets. You could think that Jesus was just talking to his disciples, but then Jesus says, "But I say to you that listen." And if you're listening, that's you, whoever you are. "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. If anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." So if you keep looking for saints, stop looking. You are the saint that you're looking for. It was Gandhi who said, "You must be the change you wish to see in the world." Jesus is saying something similar. It's not the rich and the powerful and the extraordinary who change the world. It's you and me. It's the ordinary saint, the ordinary believer. We ordinary, forgiven sinners are the ones God calls to change the world. The world is not changed so much by great feats of power or the extraordinary deeds of the famous, but by those small, ordinary, daily acts, by little things like refusing to be hateful, by choosing to go out of your way, to do good to those who have done you evil, by giving to those who would take what you had if they had a chance, by not retaliating against those who hurt you, by welcoming all people as if they are Christ, because Jesus says that they are, even if you know they're on the wrong side of every issue you care about. Not by thanking God that you're not like other people, but in repentance and humility, knowing that the worst of others is more than possible in you, and seeing yourself just like every other sinner, by praying for those who even abuse you, not by beating your enemies at their own games, but by loving your enemies, by judging not, lest you be judged, by being merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful, by forgiving as you've been forgiven, and by doing to others as you would have them do to you. This is what saints are for. This is what you and I are called for. We can stop looking for saints because you are the saints of God. And by every little forgotten act of love, you are changing the world. That is the immeasurable greatness of God's power for us who believe. You are the saints of God. Grace and peace be to you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And now, may grace and peace flow from God through you and be the blessing that this world so desperately needs. Amen. I invite you to stand for our sermon hymn, number 423.
Time forever, glory, glory.